Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
We just heard I Got Rhythm, performed by George Gershwin, the composer, a precious archival recording that was made in 1931 for the opening of the Manhattan Theater, which is now the Ed Sullivan Theater on Broadway in New York City. Our guests today are all part of a group that is responsible for creating a new competition for young musicians in voice, piano, and violin. Music for Youth presents You Got Rhythm, an inaugural event dedicated to George Gershwin on the 75th anniversary of his death. The Gershwin family joined thousands in emigrating to the United States from Russia in the early 20th century. In a sense, this event serves to bring Gershwin back to his homeland to share his American experience with the Russian people. I'd like to introduce musician, teacher, and composer, the founder of Music for Youth and the lightning rod for this event, Victoria Kogan. Welcome to Crossover.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what this is. It's called You Got Rhythm. This is the first, very first festival. How did you come about to arrive at this decision to have this?
Well, I felt that it was necessary to commemorate Gershwin as one of the famous and greatest composer of the 20th century. Gershwin is one of the few composers who appeal both of serious classical as well as lighter music to both young and old people. Besides that, his work are the perfect blend of classical and jazz music. And being teacher for many, many years, I felt that kids which been study at least 4 or 5 years for and not playing to be a professional musician, sometimes they lost motivation to keep practicing, slowly lose interest to music. And I think in order to become true music lovers and to maintain an interest at art, music art, it's very necessary to try to study music of contemporaries, composers, because music of George Gershwin truly combine many ways of playing as a classical
and jazz. Okay.
And for young musician, very attractive to try to study music with a specific jazz rhythm, very bright and very clear melody, and so improvisation.
It's very appealing also,
yes,
to young.
It's like new life in music education.
Now, are you a musician? Are you a teacher?
I'm teacher and musician. I'm a composer too. I graduate in Russia, in Ukraine, and I wrote music. And I, more than 25 years, I taught gifted student. I work in a special music school for gifted children, and I had time to analyze
what was important and how to bring music to them so that they would enjoy it and be inspired, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, what is the age bracket of the competition?
We have three categories for piano and violin. 7-11 is junior, 12-14 it's intermediate, and 15-18 seniors category. For vocal, we have absolutely different ages. We start from 18 to 37.
That's the range.
Mm-hmm. It's orange.
So the inspiration for this came from you as a teacher, is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, you had the inspiration and you said, I'm going to go and I'm going to create something.
Yes.
And it was called Music for Youth, which is a beautiful name. And then, of course, you had to get together with someone who would make things happen. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
Because that's always the problem. And one of the people that you got together with was someone by the name of Karen Salient. And welcome, Karen, to WRTI. You are artistic director of the International Opera Theater, which is a partner in this festival. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. We're very excited to be a partner because of course, Gershwin's love for Italian music. So, right along with what Vicky's saying, I can say that I love this competition for many of the same reasons. And of course, Vicky forgot to mention that Gershwin, which I'm sure everyone realizes, himself was a Russian immigrant.
Yes, I wanted to bring that in because I think that that is the story of the United States. It's
yes,
the story of coming to a country as an immigrant and creating a life and a legacy, actually, as well. Because here you have immigrants that lived in, I guess it was in the Lower East Side, was it?
Absolutely.
In New York City. And I guess part of the underlying factor here then is that it is Russian immigrants.
Yes.
It is Gershwin, which is, he's a dual composer. And Vicky, what were you trying to say also?
Yes, I would like to say that 2012 is a special year for lovers, Gershwin, for music world. Because it's 75, we are going to celebrate 75 years of his death. And unfortunately, I don't remember that there was even one competition which was dedicated
to George Gershwin.
Yes. And George Gershwin built himself in a very short period of time of his life. It's a perfect example for everybody who would like and try to reach a success in this country.
We had the opportunity to speak with Daniel Kramer in Moscow prior to his coming to the United States to perform at the Gala for Music for Youth. And he told us about how he felt about jazz and bringing it to Russia. We also were fortunate to have the services of Ina Lobanova-Heasley as translator. Now, you are essentially to begin with, a classical pianist. Is that right?
Значит, вы начинали как классический пианист, так?
Да, только как классический. Я джазом начал заниматься очень поздно, после 22 лет.
Yes, I was a classical pianist, and I started jazz studies very late, when I was 22.
Yes, well, that's very young. That's still very good. What drew you to jazz?
It was the reason because I was late with my studying jazz and learning jazz. At first, because I was really a classical piano player and I liked classic and I knew what is classic. And because I was born in Ukraine in the 60s, of course, in that time, it was not possible to understand really what is jazz there because it was not information in the 60s in Ukraine. And then I arrived to Moscow, it was a second reason because I began to listen what is really jazz because Moscow is a capital and it was possible to listen some really famous jazz piano players and jazz musicians like Parker, like Bill Evans, like Oscar Peterson or Chick Corea or Herbie Hancock. And then it was a second reason. And third reason, and maybe main reason, it's that I never liked to be in one room. Even if this room really nice, really big, really beautiful, but it's not enough for me. I like to be in several rooms. One room is classic room, second is jazz, third is folk, then rock. And I liked all these rooms, and I like to know perfectly all these rooms. That was main reason.
Well, that's beautifully put. And I will say that you were in the same room as Shostakovich because he loved jazz, but he never could hear any in the Soviet Union. They never got the jazz ensembles there at his time. So his whole interpretation of jazz was very funny. I mean, it's so very, very interesting. It's laughable, as we say. But that's I wish I spoke Russian like you speak English. It's wonderful to hear you speak English.
And I speak sometimes much better than understand.
No, you speak wonderfully. And I'm sure now we looked at least on YouTube a little bit, I think, and we saw some of your playing is all improvisation. Is that right? The jazz.
Yeah. It's necessary to understand what is my improvisation. It's like language. So I know my words and I know my sentences, but it's only words and sentences. What's important and what you say from these words and sentences. So this is not really spontaneous. I think about what I will do. I make my planning how to do, but then I never know how I will play really by my planning.
So I don't know
with my English how I explain.
No, you did explain. It's not spontaneous, I think you were saying. But the thing is also that it's there with you and it comes out at the moment a little bit different than what you were thinking, I suppose, to begin with. But it's there, which makes it improvisation because that's what improvisation is. I mean, you have the tools, but you improvise with the tools. What drew you to this? You just love jazz, is that right?
Yes, of course.
Is it very popular in Russia, jazz, now?
It is popular. I can't say you that jazz is very popular. But what I will say you now, it's just only my opinion, no more. So for my opinion, jazz in Russia, it's not really popular music like pop art, like rock, or like just folk songs. But it's now begin be very popular with a special society, intelligence society, and this intelligence society put some another people to this area, and they began to know what is jazz. Because before, a lot of Russian people know that jazz is something maybe like a Dixieland, like a ragtime, no more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or when sometimes part of the Russians listen to some avant-garde jazz, and then from first time they already decide, okay, so I don't like it, I don't want to listen more. And it's a very often mistake of a lot of people when they first time to listen something and they make their opinion from first time, and this is very big and very popular mistake, and in Russia too.
Yes, but
so,
I think
now just really just begin be more popular. But I cannot say you that this is really popular in Russia.
Well, I think jazz actually is all over the world now. It's oddly enough, and especially in Asia. And I mean, you really, really have, in Europe too. When you travel, you realize that jazz has permeated, the culture, and it's very, very important to a certain, I guess, generation of people. But even in the United States, there are people that say, "I don't like jazz." So it's not. It's
yeah,
not only that.
I love them to Russia. They told me about that.
Yeah. We thank you so much for coming, and we look forward to your music and your performance.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
And excuse, please, my English.
No, as I say, I wish I spoke Russian like you spoke English. And besides, you have your a language of music, which is international, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks again, Daniel Kramer.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye down. The You Got Rhythm competition has a juried panel and includes an honored advisor and internationally renowned concert pianist, Susan Starr. We'd like to welcome you, Susan Starr, to Crossover. your name is known to so many, many people. Susan is an outstanding pianist and for many, many years has concertized all over the world and is going to be a judge. Isn't that right?
Yes. And yeah. I would like to say that when Victoria contacted me about this competition, I got very excited because, first of all, I think George Gershwin was one of the very great American composers. I don't think you need to qualify it by saying classical or jazz. He was simply great because, to me, the mark of a great composer is that when you hear his music, you know it's that composer. It doesn't sound like anyone else.
Well, not only that, but the two genres, because he's actually, you know, he's marvelous popular tunes. And jazz, of course, but and then the classics.
But it, I mean, it's so similar, for example, yeah. as a predecessor to Leonard Bernstein.
Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely. And so many others. I think many people were extraordinarily influenced by Gershwin. And for me, as a piano teacher, I feel that rhythm is one of the qualities that we have to stress more than we're doing, especially here in the United States and currently right now also in Russia. The problem is that when you get a lot of freedom and when musicians are told play with freedom, they often lose the pulse. They often lose the sense of rhythm. And learning how to play this music and making it your own, it's absolutely necessary, as Victoria was saying about syncopation.
Well, freedom is structure, you know. I mean, you have to have structure in freedom. You can't just, otherwise it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I've and judged that, many competitions where you would think the students never heard about that.
Well, they probably didn't. Well, but I think that it's in any of the arts. I think that you have to have discipline. And the jazz musicians themselves are very, very disciplined. They improvise, but they're very disciplined in the whole genre of jazz.
I have to tell you, I get such a kick out of performing the Rhapsody in Blue and the Concerto in F. And when I first started to look at these in my early 30s, I thought maybe it wasn't kosher enough for a classical pianist to be playing Gershwin.
Well, in those years, I don't know.
Then I said something to Rudolf Serkin, who was my teacher. And he said, don't you ever put this music down. It's great music for what it is. Mm-hmm. And I realized he was right. When I first started to work on the Concerto in F, I have to tell you, it came out like distorted Mozart. But then as I started to get into it, it really became my thing because it is quintessentially American. And I find that, first of all, students today need to go back and listen to music of the 20s to really get into Gershwin. And very often, every time I've played Gershwin with a foreign conductor, a European conductor, it has not really felt authentic to me.
Well, I think jazz is, although I think we would be very surprised now, there's terrific jazz groups in Russia. There are terrific jazz groups in
Italy.
Prague. And in Japan, which is very interesting. So jazz has become a unique language of its own, and it is international, although its roots are here in the United States. So I think all of this is bringing together music again and bringing it to young people and offering them opportunities. And I think that it's very valiant of all of you to have put this idea together. And so once again, there's going to be a gala, and that is, when is the gala?
It's the 18th of May. And it's at the Ethical Society.
Ethical Society, 8 p.m. is going to be grand gala. And
who is going to play.
I would like to say I think it's going to be a really great event because we are waiting for present beautiful, brilliant piano, jazz pianist Daniel Kramer. You will hear the combine classical and jazz in one piece. because improvisation is one of the general idea of jazz music.
Which is typically jazz. And we always talk about this because now the classical musicians are learning improvisation. It's tough. It's when you're used to looking at the written page, yeah. It's very, very hard. But I had been speaking with someone who said that even the jazz players have their own structure as well. So I guess it's a very, very, it's another style of music that has been incorporated, I suppose, into classical playing now. And it's almost a genre of classical.
It really is.
And as you say, when you first started playing the concerto in F at that time, that was new. Of course,
yes,
it's new.
I had a very difficult time letting my hair down, so to speak.
Well, how did you do it? I mean, what made you kind of, there is something to that.
I was at a party one night. I think I drank a little bit too much.
I didn't want to say that.
And I went to the piano and I was camping it up. And all of a sudden, I started to get into it. And then the trick was to see if I could do it the next day.
Could you?
Yes.
Without help?
Yes.
But there's definitely, it's a feel. And it's something that Gershwin wrote down so that even if you don't have it, you can play it the way he wrote it. And it comes off as the correct jazz motif or whatever. We were really honored to have the opportunity to speak with Francesca Gershwin. She is the granddaughter of George Gershwin's sister, Frankie. We spoke with her about what she has devoted her time to with regard to George Gershwin. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Is this Francesca? Hello. This is Jill Pasternak.
Oh, thank you for calling.
You are the granddaughter of George Gershwin's sister. Is that right?
Yes. So my grandmother, Frances, who is usually known as Frankie, was the kid sister of George and Ira, and they also had another brother, Arthur. And, unfortunately, she and Arthur were cut out of the big movie that was made, Rhapsody in Blue, in I think it was the 50s.
My goodness.
So they sort of disappeared from history, and I'm actually trying to...
So there were three Gershwin boys, is that right? Or no, three Gershwin children.
Yep. There were four Gershwin children, three boys and one girl.
Okay. So you now you have grown up with this identity, I guess. we're really quite thrilled to talk to you. Are you a musician?
Yes, I do sing and... I mean, I've sung since childhood, but I studied at the Moscow Art Theater Institute, which is the original theater that Stanislavski formed. So we had singing lessons there as well. And lately, the last couple of years, I've been working on writing some of my own songs and starting to record a little bit. So it's nice.
I see. So your style is what? Is it pop?
I'd sort of say like a jazzy blues thing. I also enjoy, folk music and country bluegrass. So I'm sort of working out my own style.
I see. And when did you start? You're performing, of course. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I did perform since I was a child. I had a sort of unusual childhood. Actually, my mother, my mother was Frankie's daughter. And my grandmother, Frankie, actually had four kids, so she was quite prolific in the kid area.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, and I have five kids myself, but I can mention that later.
Well, it's in the genes, I guess. So.
I guess so. So I think my mother was brought up in this very, artistic household with, many musicians coming through. Her father was also a musician and a scientist. It was just a wonderful household, but I think she decided to get away from it all. So she brought us up out in the woods near Ojai, California.
Oh, it's beautiful there. Yeah.
Yeah. I find a lot of people know that town. Actually.
Yes.
And so we didn't study traditional schooling very much, and we would just take like music lessons. And so we were performing from the time we were kids in local shows, and so that's how I started. we're trying to keep up the family tradition of creativity, I think.
But that's very interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that you were you homeschooled. Is that what it was?
Until I was 14, and then I went to performing arts high school because I wanted, you know, more of a social life and to get more traditional schooling. And luckily that all worked out fine with jumping into the more traditional atmosphere, but it's definitely given me a taste for doing more unusual things. So when I was 18, I moved to Moscow to study theater there. So I don't think many people realize that the Gershwin family was originally came over from St. Petersburg in Russia.
Yes, I think they do know that. And that's what's so exciting about this whole celebration, to bring that to the completely to that the American public.
Right. Well, not to contradict you, but funnily enough, just on a day-to-day level, almost everybody I've said that the family is from Russia originally had no idea. Just when I meet with people, you know, on the street or, you know, after a performance, they say, really? Well, I knew the family was Jewish, but we didn't realize they were actually Russian Jews. And so I've actually been working with the theater there, the Nazarov Theater, to try to get Porgy and Bess translated into Russian over there.
Oh, my, that's fantastic. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm trying to bring the Gershwin over to Russia so it can sort of, you know, get back to the people where it originally came
from. Oh, yeah, back to its roots, and, the family, right?
So, yeah, and so I think, it's all just excited to hear about this You've Got Rhythm competition, and hopefully it'll grow into something more even because, it definitely makes that connection with the Russian roots. And, I mean, just having, you know, I have spent almost 10 years in Moscow, and my husband now is Russian and so on, and I became bilingual. And I just there's so much in the Russian culture that's contributed to the American culture, and it's just so wonderful to make that connection again. So to have the next generation be able to participate in that and, you know, get something back from themselves. I mean, a competition's exciting. It inspires you, gives you a reason to work on your own performance, your talent. So I just thought it was such a great idea when I was contacted by organizers from the You Got Rhythm.
It's very interesting because what's happened with your family is that they've come full circle. You know, that's the story of immigration, I think, and of course the great immigration at the time that the Gershwin family first came over was really enormous. I mean, for so many families, I think if you scratch them all, especially the ones that lived in the Lower East Side, I believe that's where they lived in New York City. That was a melting pot of so many, many cultures that came over at that time. But now you are a performer now. I mean, you're actually a singer and you have a career with that. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I have a sort of a side career. I'm actually do a lot more with the production. As I said, I work with the family, and you may have heard we have two Broadway shows up now that actually got 10 Tony nominations each, which was very exciting in these last few days. And
now so tell us again, what are they?
Oh, okay. So the two shows that are running on Broadway right now that have Gershwin music are Porgy and Bess and Nice Work If You Can Get It. And Porgy and Bess was just recently remade from an opera that was very long and a little more inaccessible for the general public, so 4.5 hours. Diane Paul is this wonderful, just very talented director who directed Hair a couple years ago in a revival successfully also, and who also worked with the theater I worked with that I studied at in Moscow, the Moscow Art Theater.
Well, that's a great theater. That's got quite a reputation,
Yeah, I know most of the acting methods in this country are based on Stanislavski's methods.
Yes, so, of course.
So you can really see it in this show because she, you know, has a lot of connection with that. So she just spent months reworking with a new book by Susan Laurie Parks, who's also an award-winning playwright. They just made something out of it that was more accessible but kept, you know, all the basic parts of the music that make it so great. So
now this is you're talking about Porgy and Bess right now, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, because it was terribly long and it had a lot of extra. But then we were all so used to the shortened version. I think Cheryl Crawford was the one that shortened the show and actually became a show. I mean, you know, it was more like a show rather than an opera. And so it's gone through many different, you know, changes because it was very, very long, I think, initially. So now this production, once again, is of Porgy and Bess. Is that right?
Yes, it's Porgy and Bess, but it's the first time it's been made into an actual musical, officially, you know, sanctioned by the Gershwin Estate, by the family. And as I said, it's really amazing to watch. It's on Broadway right now, and I definitely recommend it. I've seen it so many times by now, and the music just stays in your ears and in your dreams, and it's great. In the beginning, speaking to Susan Laurie Parks and Diane Paulus, when they were figuring out sort of how they were going to do it, they were saying they wanted to make the role of Bess more like modern and more active, so she wasn't, you know, the sort of passive woman stuck in her life, but she could, you know, be trying to reach for something and change her life. And so I like that too, because that's sort of my theme in my work with the Gershwin stuff, is trying to bring out the women's role in things. I think in this century, while women have had a lot of, you know, progress in our ability to participate, still we're sometimes written out of history. And Russian women just tend to be really strong. I could just tell you, I used to visit my grandmother, Frankie, when I was on my way to Moscow. I'd stop over in New York, and she would tell me about her, you know, young days. She was in her 90s already. And she said that when she traveled to the Soviet Union, she did take one trip, that she just felt a lot of connection to the women there because they were so strong and she was so inspired.
Well, let's just say women are strong, I think, all over.
Yeah, right.
But in any case, you really are carrying the torch through. So you are, in a sense, you are a performer, but you're also working on the book of the various shows. Is that right? Or is it just Porgy and Bess?
Yeah, it gets sort of complicated. But yeah, I'm working right now on a translation for the Russian stage. So we can Porgy and Bess produced there. And then there's so many projects, so it would be hard to go through them all. But yeah, I'm also working on a show about my grandmother, possibly a screenplay, so that we can bring, because she performed on Broadway. She was actually the first of the kids to make any money in a performing arts, because when she was 10, her mother took her out on this tour. She was a dancer, and she was a kid dancer, and so she was always really proud of that. And so actually that sort of connects into this, you know, the youth competition. I just remember as a child, that was one of my favorite things, was performing. And I think it's so, just life is so complicated for kids. And as I said, I have five kids, so I'm in the middle of raising them. And
I think that's not only a full-time job, it's a double full-time job. I think that's incredible.
Thank you. I know, I'm very grateful to my husband, because we both worked together. He had done some, you know, a lot of media and promotion in Moscow originally. So we sort of trade off.
Now, Victoria, if someone would like to attend the gala, how do they do that? Is there a phone number that they can call?
267.
Yes.
288.
Yes.
8098.
And that is...
And through the website.
Which is?
www.musicforyouthcompany.com.
Online. So, and there's an availability.
Yes. So far it's available.
So far, so good. Well, it's been such an exciting thing talking to all of you. Susan, are you doing?
I had a story to tell you about Gershwin. Johnny Green told me about this. Apparently, when Gershwin had one of his big productions, very successful on Broadway, he sent a telegram to Ravel and said, "Will you teach me?" But he was a little uncouth in that he also directly put in the telegram, "And how much do you charge?" So Ravel sent a telegram back to him saying, "How much money did you make last year?" So Gershwin sent back $100,000, and that in the 20s was quite a lot.
Oh,
and then Ravel sent back a telegram to Gershwin saying, "Will you teach me?"
Yes. That's wonderful. That's great. Susan, are you, you're performing, of course, aside from teaching and judging competitions.
I am, but not as much as I was previously. I don't like traveling quite as much as I used to. And so I'm picking and choosing and playing where I want to play. Now, next month I'll be playing at the Sarasota Music Festival. I've gone there every year for the last 29 years.
Because it's an excuse to go to a beautiful part of the United States.
But it's also wonderful people to work with.
Marvelous.
And there I'm doing exactly what I like best. I'm teaching. I'm coaching chamber music. I'm doing master classes. And then I get to perform with my colleagues as well as solo.
That's wonderful.
And then after that, I'm going to New York to judge the New York International Piano Competition. And after that, I'm performing and teaching for 3 weeks at Piano Summer, which is a wonderful festival just for pianists, 3 weeks long.
Where is
that? It's in New Paltz, New York.
Yes.
And it's run by Vladimir Feltzman.
Yes.
And that is a great festival for pianists, too, because each of the students gets a lesson every day with a different teacher.
My.
Yeah, it's very pressured, but it's a lot of fun.
So there's a lot going on, and you're very much involved in it, and you're playing as well. And that's always wonderful to hear, especially when one doesn't see one for many, many years. But I know it never stops. So
never.
A pleasure and an honor to have you here with us today, and all of you. And good luck, and we know it's going to be a smashing success. We've been speaking with Victoria Kogan, founder of Music for Youth Company, which is the presenting organization for the inaugural festival You Got Rhythm, Karen Salent, Artistic Director of the International Opera Theater, the festival's partner and sponsor of the Grand Prix for Violin, Piano, and Voice, Susan Starr, internationally renowned concert pianist and the festival's honored jury advisor, Daniel Kramer, internationally renowned jazz pianist based in Moscow, Russia. Mr. Kramer will perform his U.S. debut at the festival's opening gala, which is on Friday, May 18th. And finally, Francesca Gershwin, grandniece of George Gershwin, to appear at the festival's opening gala and closing with a greeting to all the participants. Frances Gershwin Godofsky is her grandmother, an artist in her own right. The Academy of Vocal Arts will be where the final day of competition takes place. It's open to the public, and people can also vote if they attend. For further information, musicforyouth.com or call 267-288-8098. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.